Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Russ M., and I'm a recovering compulsive overeater from Norristown, PA. Today's Friday, March 13th, 2026, and we're reading from the Big Book, and there's a solution. We are on page 24, that third paragraph, starting with, "The alcoholic may say to himself," and it ends with, "What's the use anyhow?" All right, our readers today, we have Mar Z for the steps, we have Boss O for the traditions, Colleen M is going to help us out with the reading and sharing, starting us off, Vanessa G is taking care of 164, our backup, we don't need one now that Colleen handles it, newcomer greeters, Hanietta R, second hour host is Pam SR, and Kathy S is handling the announcements. Our share ID for yesterday, Thursday, March 12, 2026. The 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,279. The 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,280. 23,280. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issue. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I've asked Marzi to share the 12 steps.
Good morning, Russ. Thank you for your service. Maura Z, gratefully recovered in Virginia. 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
Next up is Vasa O with the 12 traditions.
Yes. Good morning, all of you. I'm Vasa O, calling from Port Charlotte, Florida. 12 traditions. Number one, a common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA as a unity. 2, for our group purpose, but there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscious. Our leaders of our trusted, servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeaters who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility, outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ serve special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policies based on attractions rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions. Every reminder to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass it to you, Russ.
Thanks, Vasa. Thanks, Mar. Appreciate that. All right. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. So today we resume our study of the Big Book, and there is a solution. We are on page 24, the third paragraph, starting with the alcoholic may say to himself, ending with, what's the use anyhow? And Colleen M. is going to read and get us started with the sharing.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Russ. Thanks for everybody that's doing service this morning. I'm Colleen M., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Maryland. The alcoholic may say to himself in the most casual way, it won't burn me this time, so here's how. Or perhaps he doesn't think at all. How often have some of us begun to drink in this nonchalant way, and after the third or fourth, pound on the bar and say to ourselves, for God's sake, how did I ever get started again? Only to have that thought supplanted by, well, I'll stop with the sixth drink, or what's the use anyhow? So, wow, what a powerful paragraph, as they all have been. And, you know, the name of this chapter is There Is a Solution. But first, we have to get this step one. We have to get to this step one. And this paragraph, to me, reiterates the denial that I lived in for so many years and that I see so many other people struggle with, this acceptance that I have a disease that I have no control over and that I'm going to go back to eating if I do not accept that I am a real compulsive overeater, and that the only solution to this problem is to admit that I have this problem, to put the food down and to find a power greater than myself that can help me move forward. And I see and hear this so many times. You know, I'm a chronic relapser. I can't. Well, we're all chronic relapsers, or we wouldn't be here in this program. And I spent years, you know, with these types of situations where I would pick up the food, convince myself that, you know, I've got this thing now. I've been on this diet. I've had some success. I've lost a few pounds. I got some relief from the agony of the food thoughts in my head. And, you know, I certainly should be able to handle this now. And, you know, found myself pounding on the bar because once I started, I couldn't stop. Or, you know, just nonchalantly picking up something. And that's insanity for me today. You know, I tell people all the time, I live close to the beach, the ocean, and I'm not a good swimmer. And I never go in the ocean. I very rarely go in the ocean, but when I do, I certainly never go in the ocean when there's no one around, if there's a strong riptide or heavy waves. And that's how I treat my food. I don't make food decisions without talking to someone. I don't change my food. I have strict boundaries around what I eat. And that's just the beginning of what opens me up to then, you know, working this program, getting relationship with higher power, turning my will and life over to that power, and doing this thorough house cleaning and working with others, which keeps me from that mental blank spot where I think I can safely pick up something that's an alcoholic food for me. So it's just powerful. The denial is strong. It took me years to break through. The only thing I can say is if you're struggling, don't leave before the miracle happens. Just keep coming back and listening to people who have gone before you who seem to have got something and follow the directions. If it can work for me, it can work for you. Thanks for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thanks, Colleen. Appreciate it. So now we're going to open up the lines for sharing. And although we should value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day. So if you share Wednesday or Thursday, please step back and allow others to share. I need your first name, first initial of your last name, and where you're calling in from.
I need you at this
Okay. 1 second. If we could do it one at a time, which is tough, I understand that. It'd be great. And I'll let you know where we're at throughout the meeting. All right, Hanietta, got you.
Kim A.
I think that was Kim A.
Janet B.
Okay, Nancy or Janet. Janet B.
Nancy P.
Was that Kathy C?
Yes.
Okay, Nance, I got you.
Nicole S.
I heard Ian and Nicole. Ian F. Is it Nicole S? Nicole?
Olivia K, Illinois.
Olivia K. So. Let's get one more.
CK in California.
Okay, we got you. So we got a nice list here. Hanietta, Kim A, Nancy R, Janet B, Kathy C, Nancy P, Ian F, Nicole S, Olivia K, and CK. All right, Hanietta, you're up.
Okie dokie. Good morning, Russ. Thank you for your service. my name is Hanietta R. Starts with a CH. You're looking for me, and I'm from Texas, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm very excited about being here this morning. I haven't shared for a while, but this paragraph really does always hit me. I want to welcome all the newcomers that are out there, whether you introduce yourselves or not. I love you. So I always say, I'm going to go into the buffet and only eat one plateful, and then I won't eat any more. And then after the third or fourth plateful, I was pounding on the bar of the buffet. And how did I get here again? You know, and you know, and it also says in here, it says how often some of us began to drink nonchalant, I won't be burned this time. So here's how. Or perhaps he doesn't think at all. That's the one that gets me. I don't think at all most of the time. I have had several bouts with going back to the food. And it's like, and next thing I know, I'm like, oh, I think I'll just eat that. I mean, I just eat it. I don't even think. And next thing I know, I'm like, I didn't even think about this. And there I was again. So it's very, for me, the disease is it's insidious. My disease tells me I don't have a disease. And it tries to catch me every time it can. And so that's why I have to stay vigilant on making sure I do the steps and I work them with somebody else, get as a sponsor. And this is, I think, I've been in 4+ decades, and I don't know that I've ever done an 11-step every night and almost every morning, and prayed with people and done things so differently than I'd ever done before. And I'm so grateful for that. I wake up in the morning, and the first thing I do is say a couple of Jewish prayers, and then I say the 11th step, you know, on awakening. And it makes my day so much different. And then I jump on this meeting. I'm on
That's
a meeting
time.
For 2 hours in the morning. I love this program. I love you, Russ. I love everybody out there. Thank you. Have a great weekend, a good Shabbos, and I pass. Don't quit
Thank
5
you,
minutes
honey.
Before the miracle.
Thanks, honey. I appreciate it. Next up is Kim A., followed by Nancy R.
Hi, this is Kim A. from New York City, and I am not sure what paragraph we're on, but I'm going from the last two shares. I'm hearing mental blank spot, and I'm hearing don't quit before the miracle happens. So what is the miracle? For me, for the 18 years that I was struggling in OA to follow a food plan and avoid certain foods and ingredients, I thought the miracle was going to be that I was no longer going to want to compulsively eat, that I was just going to kind of get it one day, that I was going to succeed at the same things that I saw other people in OA sharing worked for them. And that never happened. The true miracle for me was I did leave OA because I was just not, even when I was abstinent, I wasn't finding freedom from the obsession. So to me, there was like, yeah, it was great to lose weight and be abstinent, but if I'm obsessed and playing games with food all day long, like to me, that wasn't the end game. So I left because I felt like I was spinning my wheels. When I came back, the true miracle is what happened. And what happened was I learned that I'm a chronic compulsive eater. And what that means is that as a chronic compulsive eater, addict of any sort, we cannot use any means to control or manage our substance. And so not being able to keep certain foods down, not being able to just not pick up no matter what, or just put the food down, like I couldn't do any of that. And that's because I'm a chronic compulsive eater. And what that means is that I'm really the person that the steps were written for. So the miracle was going through the steps with a sponsor who interpreted the big book for me, because I really didn't understand that much of a big book. I wasn't able to relate to it. And when she helped me relate to it, it was a complete game changer. And it helped me understand that the mental twist and the mental blank spot, all that mental stuff was happening before I was taking that first compulsive bite. Therefore, it wasn't about a particular allergy to like a certain substance, because that wasn't in my body, right? The problem was what was going on in my mind that basically forced me to take that first bite at some point. And that's where all that mental stuff comes in, right? And the steps help us work through, for lack of a better way of saying it, all the mental stuff, right? Because those causes and conditions that we're getting down to in step four, our flawed thinking and effed up attitudes and our misperceptions that have us living in resentment and fear and, you know, self-victimization, that's the stuff that would drive me to take that first bite even when I didn't want to. Even when maybe I couldn't remember how awful it was the last time I picked up, right? That mental blank spot. I just kind of blank on what the consequence is going to be. Thanks. I'll wrap up. So that for me was the true miracle, understanding that following a food plan was not something I was going to be able to do and that my problem was compulsively eating, not sugar. This is Kim A. in New York City. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Kim. Appreciate it. Next up is Nancy R., followed by Janet B.
Good morning, Nancy R. from Illinois. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. I'm grateful to be on this meeting with all of you this morning and listening. I talked with my sponsor before this call, and, you know, I can be on this meeting and not hear anything or hear very little of what's going on. So to surrender to really just being present and being a part of, So what we read, what sticks out to me is what I can relate to the most is what difference does it make anyway, or whatever the wording is exactly in there. It doesn't matter, you know. I know that if I pick up, I am going to keep eating. And the lies that I tell myself, my addict voice is like, what difference does it make? And I don't care. And so that's where my addiction hits me, and it's not true. It does make a difference. It makes a huge difference. And that's why I need to show up and hear the truth. And I can't do this by myself. And I need to surrender. Someone just talked about like being upon awakening. And I'm like, oh yeah, like upon awakening, ask God what my day looks like. And it doesn't matter if I want to or not want to, surrendering to what God has planned, my higher power has planned for me today, instead of thinking about what I want to do or I don't want to do, or what difference does it make. I don't know what difference it makes until I show up and see the miracle that God has for me today. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Nance. Next up is Janet B., followed by Kathy C.
Morning, Russ. Morning, everyone. This is Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. So that line, like the cry of that was mine, of every compulsive eater still in the food, for God's sake, how did I ever get started again? Right? How did I end up with a whole box, bag, carton eaten when I didn't want to? And, you know, a couple paragraphs ago, it tells us, right? We're unable to bring into our consciousness with sufficient force the memory of our past sufferings. So it's more than an allergy. I have a terrible allergy to cats. I go around cats, I'm liable to have an asthma attack, get a sinus infection, be a whole snotty, sneezy, wheezing mess. So if someone invites me to her house, and I always ask, do you have a cat? And if she says yes, my memory scans the data points in my brain in like a nanosecond. You're near a cat, you got a sinus infection. You're near a cat, you had an asthma attack. Generates a thought to run across the bridge to my conscious mind to say, stop, danger, cats will get you sick. and so I don't go to her house. Or I grew up in Miami, went to the beach a lot, got a really nasty sunburn a couple times. So now whenever I go to the beach, my memory scans those data points. Danger, you don't put sunscreen on, you're going to get a burn. Danger, you don't put sunscreen on, you're going to get all wrinkly and red. Generates a thought to run across the bridge to my conscious mind to stop me. So when it would come to food, you would think it would be the same exact thing. But there I was in college, about to go downstairs, buy a box of cookies to just have one or two. My memory does its job, scans the data points in my brain. You said you were going to have one or two. You ate a whole box. You threw up the next day. You couldn't get out of bed. You said you were going to have one or two. You ate two boxes. Couldn't do anything the next day. On and on. Generates a thought to run across the bridge to my conscious mind to say, stop, danger. You won't be able to stop at one or two. Except unlike with sunburns and cats, the bridge was broken and the thought couldn't get across. My memory failed to hold me in check. I couldn't keep the memory green. I couldn't remind myself how bad it was. Couldn't do it. My memory was broken in that area. And as it says at the end of More About Alcoholism, the alcoholic has no effective mental defense. I can't remind myself strongly enough. Says our defense must come from a higher power. I have to build a new bridge, and that's a bridge to God. And these steps show me how to do that so that I don't have to rely on my thinking to keep me abstinent. I rely on God, and he loves me enough that he will keep me abstinent. And that is the true miracle of this program. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Janet. Appreciate it. All right, before Kathy C. jumps up here, let me let you know where we're at if you came on the meeting a tad bit late. We're on page chapter 2. There's a solution, page 24, third paragraph. The alcoholic may say to himself, ending with, what's the use anyhow? All right, Kathy, you're up.
Thanks. I'm Kathy C. I'm in Colorado, and I think this is the first time I've ever shared, but I've been back in vision for a couple of weeks after several years in relapse. And I was doing okay. I was doing well for a while, and then I had a really bad day a couple days ago. A lot of stress and physical pain, and I came home from an appointment and just had a really bad binge. And I think I was just eating to numb out. But, you know, then I got really mad at myself and a lot of shame and didn't want to tell my sponsor and all that. And I did finally. But so now I'm, you know, just trying to get back. So I'd really appreciate some outreach calls if, you know, people have some stuff to share. So thanks a lot.
All right, Kath, since you were out a little bit, if you stick around to the middle between this meeting and next, you can put your name out and your number.
Okay.
And people will touch base with you.
Okay.
All right. Thanks
great.
A lot. Yep. Next up is Nancy P. followed by Ian F.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Russ. Thanks for letting me share. Nancy P. recovered in Massachusetts. You know, this whole thing about it won't burn me this time or what's the use anyhow, like, I don't care about any of that. I mean, I've been, all of us, everybody has articulated it beautifully about how, you know, who knows. And I just choose today to, like, not even get involved in that, except for one thing. I mean, I don't get involved in that, but I was told by my vision sponsor when we were going through the steps that this program has to pinch a little bit. And I've often used the analogy, like, if I sit down on my couch with a pair of sheepskin slippers on for my chronically cold feet and a cup of tea and a book, I'm not going to read the book. I'm going to fall asleep. But if I read at my desk with an upright chair and, you know, no soft cushiony anything, I'm definitely going to get whatever I need to get done will get done. And I was talking to a I don't know if she's a newcomer, but I took her name down. She said she was new, but probably just to the meeting. And I was talking to her the other day, and she was like, oh, my God, it seems like so much work. And I said, yeah, it's kind of like working out. You know, when you first go to the gym, you're like, oh, my God. Then you see these buff bodies, you know, everybody, and you think they just got to the gym for the first time, too. And, no, they go every day, or they go all the time, or they've been going for years, whatever it is. They show the results of their work. And my attitude about this stuff is, at first, I was definitely wanted to get better. So I did whatever I was told immediately and as hard as I could. And I still do that, still do all the things that I was told to do all the time. But it changed from being what I had to do to what I wanted to do to what I needed to do. And now it's what I crave to do. And you know, yeah, it should pinch a little bit, but I've broken into the unfamiliarity or uncomfortableness of having to slog through all these things that we all do about cutting and chopping and shopping and, you know, making sure this, that, and the other. But all that wouldn't matter except for one thing. I stick to this all the time. And, you know, this book is, in my opinion, this book is bracketed by two really critical statements. One, it says, we have found that nothing contributes more to the rehabilitation of these men than the altruistic movement now growing up among them. And on the first sentence of the seventh chapter, practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. Those two statements, you know, to me, prove that the real thing that works for me is absolute, entire, complete, utter surrender, and nothing can get in the way. But the thing that makes that possible is that I talk to people every day. Just this morning, my husband and I are going to an event tonight, and I was like, I don't eat off little plates, I don't need standing up, I don't need finger food. But I had to say it out loud to my sponsor to make sure that it was carved in stone. And that's the thing about, you know, fellowshipping is the most important thing that I do in service of my recovery. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Nance. Next up is Ian F., followed by Nicole S.
Howdy, my name is Ian F. I'm a compulsive overeater out of Indiana. Thank you, Russ, for your service. Thank you for all the shares coming to me as I'm walking around my hotel listening to this. Is all the descriptions of this disease are talking about how we think. And I know for myself, and when I hear sponsees talk, and when I hear, you know, folks who are coming back, hop on meetings, it's always, I binged, and here's 2 to 3 minutes of how I think it happened, and everything that's going on in my head, and like, that is where my disease loves to live. And in this paragraph, it's the same thing, you know, here's how. Food, I think, you know, we have a pretty high turnover rate in this program, and I think part of that is that food does not register to a lot of people as being so deadly. You know, I know a lot of heroin and crack addicts because my family is, you know, and I have some family members in a different program, and that program, you go out, you might die immediately. For us, it's really easy for us to think our way back into it and for us to stay in it because we're thinking and thinking and thinking. And I know it's not in this paragraph, but notably, because we're talking about what is the solution here, we end up arriving at into action. Doesn't matter where in my program I'm at, I can't afford to be caught up in how I think. Not because how I think is wrong, not because I'm stupid, but because how I think is what got me here. I was basically a nutrition expert. I was 82 pounds on my worst of anorexia, and I was so bloated that I couldn't walk at the worst of my compulsive overeating. My thinking is not, you know, going to help me. My brain is broken. Someone has explained that already. So if I'm stuck, if I'm you know, relapsing, as some people say, I'm a chronic relapser, the issue is not that I need to figure something out. It's never that I need to figure something out. What saved my life was coming here and asking someone, what did you do? And then doing what they told me to do, regardless of what I thought of it. The worst that can happen is that you go through a couple of people and you try a couple different things. But thinking is what got me here. It's not going to get me out of it. That's what I got. Love you guys. I'll pass.
Thanks, E. Appreciate it. Next up is Nicole S., followed by Olivia K.
Good morning. This is Nicole S., a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. Thank you, Russ, for your service. And I love this, that it won't burn me this time, so here's how. And how many times did I just keep trying and trying and trying to, that I'll just have one. I did in a home ec class in eighth grade, put my hand on a hot stove that had been left on all night, and it actually left marks on my fingertips, and I'll remember that the rest of my life. I will never touch a hot stove. I've been very, very careful since then. I don't have that memory, that same thing. All the experiment, just like Bill was saying on page 6, in no time I was beating on the bar, asking myself how it happened. And, and then that thought of, well, you know, I'm never going to do this again. This is my last time ever. So I may as well do it really good this time because I'm never doing this again. And I'm so grateful, you know, we're just about to get to there is a solution. And it's just been pounding how we have an incurable illness. And here soon we're going to get to the solution on it. And I'm so grateful that I did hear the message. For many years in OA, I never heard the message that that I had to put the food down, that, you know, I could moderate my food. And I'm so grateful for the very clear directions in the Big Book and so many people in this fellowship who are recovered and can give that hope. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Nicole. Next up is Olivia K., followed by CK.
Good morning, Russ. Thank you so much for your service, and thank you for the first share and all of the wonderful shares. I'm Olivia Kay from Illinois, compulsive eater, and very grateful to be here this morning. I remember when I first joined OA, my sponsor had me write a food history. And I remembered when I was 4 years old, I stole a candy bar at a Ben Franklin. And here I am, decades later, talking about, you know, how do I start again, or why did I start again, and all. And I think that the history of that, and, you know, not even really understanding that I had this disease that was in me probably when I was born, and trying to do all kinds of things to get over it on my own, controlling, fixing, trying to do many different ways that all of you have, you know, likely tried as well. And here I am today, you know, with this wonderful group vision and listening, that it isn't anything that I can do. It is what my higher power can do, and that I need to do these, I need to change the way I live. I need to change the way I live, redesign it, and refocus through the steps. And, you know, all of those thoughts, and I still, you know, the thoughts get me a lot. And I realize that very sick person inside, but not incurable as far as, you know, or not, I shouldn't say incurable because we say we're not cured, but, you know, there is a solution, which several people have said, and the solution is that I follow these steps and I do those things that I'm told to do and suggested to do, and that brings me to a place where I don't want to steal a candy bar from a Ben Franklin anymore and find relief. But that was me at 4 years old, and hid it under my bed and ate it at a different time. So that's what I was dealing with. And what did I think? You know, where would that go? So I want to just say thank you. Thank you so much to everyone on Vision for giving hope. And to the newcomer, please keep coming back. You're not alone. You really are not alone. And that's all I've got. Happy Friday, everybody. Have a great weekend. Take care.
Thanks, Olivia. Appreciate it. Next up is CK from California. And we're going to take another list after that.
Peace, family. This is CK in California. Today is day 516 for me. I'm grateful, and I'm a real bill. You know, page.
CK, we lost you there. I think you got, yeah, you got muted. CK, press star one. Or maybe got knocked off. So, all right. So we lost you, CK. There you go. We got you. We got you.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry the phone hung up. So anyway.
No, do your thing. Do your thing.
So yeah, peace, family. This is CK in California. Today is day 516 for me. I'm grateful, and I'm a real bill. Page 30 tells me that the delusion that I'm like other people has to be smashed. I'm not like other people. I'm not like other people when it comes to food. I'm not like other people when it comes to how I relate to other people. You know, I'm an addict. And my main problem centers in my mind. So when I pick up food that I need to stay away from, and when I pick up people that I need to stay away from, my addict amnesia kicks in, and it blocks me from remembering the humiliation and the suffering that comes from that first compulsive bite or that first compulsive phone call to my ex. Due to my addict amnesia, I keep doing this shit over and over and over again, you know, thinking that I won't get burned by the food or I won't get burned by my ex. I have no defense. I have no power. So how do I go from the insanity of putting my hand on a hot stove on page 24 to 60 pages later on page 84 that says, when tempted, I recoil like a hot flame? How do I get there? And the way I get there is that, you know, I have to take a series of steps. You know, I have to follow a series of instructions, you know, and they're all listed in this book. And to get me to do that, that involves surrender. You know, I have to surrender to a power greater than myself. You know, it involves humility. I have to admit that I don't know what the hell I'm doing. You know, I need some help. You know, it involves me working the steps. It involves a psychic change, you know. And once I have that psychic change, which is just a profound alteration to how I respond to life and the things that happen to me in my life, once I have that psychic change that allows me to put down the food and put down those, you know, those people that I need to stay away from, then I have to have, you know, I have to maintain my spiritual fitness. And then and only then do I get this daily reprieve from my addictions. And so I'm just so grateful that there is a solution. Like, I thank you. I know I'm an addict. I accept it. But I'm so grateful that there is a solution. And if I just surrender and follow these instructions, my higher power will take care of me. So thanks for letting me share, y'all. Peace.
Thanks, CK. Appreciate it. So we have time for three more shares. And if you share on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back. Who was that? That first one?
Deandy.
Anita J.
Penny C.
All right, we got okay.
Melissa.
So hold on. So there was someone right before. I got Anita and Penny, but there was someone before everybody else.
Deanna.
Is it Deanna?
Deanna F. Yeah.
Deanna F. And then it was Anita and Penny C. That's what we got time for right now. If it loosens up, I'll get the next. All right. You're up. Is it Dion? Dion?
No.
Dion. Dion.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
Thanks, Russ.
Go for it.
Okay. I am Dion F. in New York, and I am gratefully recovered this day. And I had to share on this paragraph because it is really, you know, it's me, and that is a miracle in and of itself, because we know how long ago this book was written by men that I would have nothing in common with, except for that I have what they're describing. And, you know, I don't remember who said it, but it really, really struck me that, like, it is amazing that there is a solution. But that in order for there to be a solution, like, to a problem, I need to actually know what my problem is. And so just like I have a problem with my thyroid, which does not work, like, and now I know for sure, like, I've had an ultrasound, they're atrophied. Like, my thyroid does not work. I must receive the treatment of, you know, the hormone, like, in my body. I must take that treatment, and there's never any argument. Like, I totally accept that. Like, here's my illness, here's my treatment. This disease is something completely different. Like, I'm still going to try to figure out how to get this control. And I don't possess it. Just like my thyroid doesn't work properly, my brain, you know, my body, my, you know, messages are completely like disease. And so the solution is that I like open my mind and my heart to receive the treatment for this disease, which is actually this power that's greater than myself. Like, I can't do this. Like, I can't make my thyroid work. I can't make my brain work. I can't make that happen. Not without the power that, you know, is given to me by this loving, caring God. And I turn my will and life in the third step over to the care of God. So I believe that I am being cared for, and that is the solution for me today. So thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Deanna from New York. Next up is Anita J., followed by Penny C.
Thank you. Thank you, Russ. You can hear me, right?
Okay. Got you perfectly.
I am so grateful for so many things. One is I survived pneumonia again and could never wake up in time for this meeting. I listened every day, recorded. It just was the way it was. And yesterday, lo and behold, I followed everything I was supposed to do to get better. And eventually, one day, which was yesterday, I felt like Anita again. And I could tell because I got up in time for the first time to listen to the meeting live so I could express my gratitude to my God, who, not for the pneumonia, but for that no matter what seems to happen to me, including the thing that I was the most powerless over, which was food, he has had a solution, and it's him. I still don't have that back-to-back perfection, but I don't eat sugar or artificial sweeteners. It's just changed. And I do have that recoil. I realized I haven't binged 14 years, I think, or 15 now. There's been no binges. It's been a miracle that he keeps telling me, you know who you are, Anita. You're a child of God, and you don't really work properly without me. You look like it sometimes to the outside world, walking and talking and doing things, but there's no real life in you. The sparkle in your eye, in your heart, that comes from me. And why is that? Why am I talking about all that? Because it was only when the food stopped, which, you know, I started as a little kid as a solution. And that solution, as we all know, doesn't work. So I'm happy to find what really works. People who are working it, you know, like they say, my tribe, I found my tribe. And I never kept going looking for some other. People once said to me, oh, yeah, vision is good. Have you tried this? Have you tried that? I go, no. I finally heard God. I'm in vision for you. Why would I go anywhere else? And so with that, thank you all. I pass.
All right, Anita, next up is Penny C. And okay. You should be our last.
Hi, Russ. It's Penny C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in the Boston area and very grateful for that. When I read this paragraph, every single thing it says, I said to myself with regards to overeating and binging. Every single thing, especially what's the use? Oh, how many times did I say, what's the use? You know, oh, I tried everything. And, you know, a lot of things worked. Starvation worked for a while. I lost a bunch of weight. Weight Watchers worked for a while. I lost a bunch of weight. But it always came back. And even when I wasn't eating, all I could think about is food. How am I going to avoid eating? How am I going to not let people know I'm starving myself? Oh, my goodness. So what's the use? And that whole idea that I tried everything, I was sure I did. And so I just resigned myself to the fact I'm just going to be fat all my life, make the best of it. The only thing I didn't try, because nobody ever suggested it, was to ask God for help. And, you know, I grew up in such a religious family, parochial school, Catholic college, where we had to take, you know, we had to take many credits in theology to graduate at the time. And yet I never even considered that I could ask God for help with this disease, which I didn't know was a disease at the time. And so I finally found out, what's the solution? Trust and rely on God and do the work. Do the work. You know, the work mainly being, you know, work through the steps and then live the steps. And, okay, with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Penny. You got a minute and a half if somebody wants it.
Vanessa,
who would want it? All right, go ahead, Vanessa, you're up.
Hi, everybody. My name is Vanessa G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New Mexico. What's the use anyhow? Gosh, how many times did I say that? In OA, what's the use anyhow? And even after years and years and years, I still would end up relapsing, still binging, often after no reason at all. Sometimes I would think that it was because I was sad. Sometimes it was because I was celebrating. But most of the time it was just because all of a sudden I found myself picking up and in the middle of another binge. So hopeless. What's the use anyhow? I am so grateful that I found this meeting and that I found people who study this book who were able to share this solution with me. It took a while for me to find all those things and for me to be ready, I guess. Maybe that's the important line. What's the use anyhow? Before I give up the fight and surrender and let my HP take over. Higher powers in my life, God's in my life, my friends, my family here in this meeting. Love you all. Thank you so much for saving my life. There is much use now to my life. Thanks.
Thanks, Vanessa. And thank you to everyone who shared today and did service on this awesome meeting. So let me give you the share ID for today, Friday, the 13th of March 2026, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,282. 23282. All right, now we're going to end with a reading from the Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then. And Vanessa G is going to take us out, and then we'll pray the Serenity Prayer.
Hi, everybody. I'm still a compulsive overeater, and I'm still Vanessa in New Mexico. Still, our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize that we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right. And great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.